Before we begin our lesson this morning, if you were not with us Wednesday night, we have a sign-up sheet. If you would be interested in purchasing one of the Bibles that I quoted from last week, this is a translation that's come out this year. If any of you are familiar with the easy-to-read translation, which was a translation of the New Testament, the same individual has put this together with a lot of help from other people in the process of writing it. And it's written on fourth grade level, and it is an accurate translation of the Hebrew and the Greek, Old Testament Hebrew and New Testament Greek. And if you would like to see one, I meant to bring mine back from the house this morning and put it out in the foyer, but I forgot to do it, but I'll try to bring it tonight. But there's a sign-up sheet in the West Foyer on the round table. And if you would like to order one of the Bibles, the hard copy will be $35 and the leather-bound will be $45. And there are only very few leather-bounds remaining, I think about five or six. But if you would be interested, then check the sign-up sheet at the back foyer and you can sign up for those. Let me give you a word of caution. The Bible is called the International English Bible. If you try to do a word search on the internet in order to find it, chances are you'll come to another that's called a paraphrase of the New Testament with the exact same name, International English Bible. And this individual who wrote this happened to set up a webpage before the other folks had a chance to. And so if you do a word search, you may not find the correct one. This one is published in Branson, Missouri. It's Old Testament and New Testament, the one that I'm talking about. And I can give you their web address if you would like to look. But you can. There's some on the way because I've already ordered them. And there's some on the way if you'd like to sign up for one. You can do that on the foyer. Enough of that. Let's go to the Bible. Let's open to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's look together again at verses 14 through verse 17. Tonight we talk about revelation. God has made himself known by revealing himself to us. He does it in two ways, creation and revelation. Revelation meaning what he has spoken has been recorded for us. We have it in our Bibles. This morning, we're going to take a look at Scripture, and tonight, we're going to take a look at Revelation, one of those basic things that are so important to us that we need to get back to, and we'll be saying more about that tonight, but we're going to be talking about it a little bit this morning. The word Scripture is not used in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, Scripture was being put together. But the idea of God speaking and God telling individuals to write and to write down what he says is all through the Old Testament. It begins even with Moses. Write down these words that I give to you and give them to the children of Israel. And so he writes the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone. And then Moses writes the books. And he writes the first five books that we have of the Bible. But when we come to the New Testament, the word Scripture is used. And we understand by its quotations, it is written in Scripture. As the Scripture says, and then the quotations will go back to the Old Testament, we understand that Scripture has, in this beginning of use, the word, reference to the Old Testament. But that's not all that it has reference to. It's not just the Old Testament. We'll see that in our lesson today. In this letter that the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, he talks about Scripture. And I want to begin from here and just highlight a few places in the New Testament where the Bible will describe for us what Scripture is. And Paul, in writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through verse 17, will first of all say this to him. You, however, continue in the things which you have learned. Word of God is something that we don't devise in our own mind. It's not something that we conclude based on our own thoughts. The Word of God is something that we learn. It is something that is spoken outside of us to us. It is spoken by God to us, and we learn it. We are not born with it. We do not have it instinctively. But the Word of God is something that is given to us through the things that God has said. And so Paul says, "You, however, continue in the things which you have learned and become convinced of." He had to take note of them. He had to listen to them. He had to pay attention to what they were saying and investigate them and put them to the test. And he became convinced of them, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that would primarily be, as Paul makes known to us, his mother and his grandmother. And then he will say this, "And that from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, the holy writings, the writings that are sacred and holy because they come from God, because they are what God has spoken to his prophets, what God has spoken to those individuals who wrote them down for us." And he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. He's talking about the writings of the prophets from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Malachi. He's talking about all of those books. Then these are the sacred writings. And the sacred writings means the scripture. The scripture meaning breathed out by God, which is what he's about to tell him. "You've become convinced of them, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The whole purpose of the Old Testament was to bring us to Jesus, to keep us until the time we came to Jesus. And here the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, from what you have learned in those sacred writings, those scriptures, you have gained the wisdom that is necessary in order to bring you to Jesus Christ so that you can have salvation through your faith in him. All scripture, all sacred writings are breathed out. They are inspired, which means they are all breathed out by God. These are the things God has spoken. These are the things that God has said that give us this wisdom that leads to salvation. And the Apostle Paul says that all of these breathed out writings from God are profitable. They are useful. They are beneficial. They are for us. And they are necessary for us, because they make God's people ready for any good work. They tell us everything God wants us to do in order for us to become everything that God wants us to be. That's scripture. That's the sacred writings. And we're going to see a passage in a minute that will let us know that when you hold in your hands the Old Testament and the New Testament, you're holding in your hands all of scripture, all of the sacred writings. The things that God would have us to know to be all that God would have us to be. Scripture is intended to be read. Have you ever noticed about us that we have a tendency when it comes to worship, that there are times when things really have our attention, and then there are times when things do not have our attention? When we sing a song, and especially one where we love the melody, when we sing a song, and especially one where we love the tune, it has our attention. But if we don't like the tune, and we don't really particularly care for the melody, it seems that the words have a hard time holding our attention and have a hard time holding us. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we have a tendency, when scripture is read, to let our mind wander, because we've heard it all before? We know what this says. We've heard it all before. And so we allow our minds to wander when scripture is being read. Have you ever noticed that when we go to pray, we close our eyes, we bow our heads, and we think about everything. And probably nothing to do with the prayer that is being offered. And God intended for our times of worship to be times where our mind is focused on Him. And the prayer that is being prayed before us, so that we may say the amen. And the songs that are being sung. And especially the words that are being read from Scripture. Scripture is intended to be read. Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. And this came about from the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Have you never read Scripture?" Scripture is to be read, and it's to be read carefully. And it's to be read with devotion and intent. And it's to be read to be learned. And it's to be read as if God is speaking directly to me. Have you not read what was spoken to you by God? This is the way Jesus begins his answer to the Sadducees, who are questioning him about who would have a particular woman as their wife after the resurrection. And Jesus begins his response to the Sadducees with the question, "Have you never read?" But look at how he goes on with what he says in his question. "Have you never read what was spoken to you by God?" That's always been a passage of Scripture that stops me in my tracks and makes me think. Because the verse that he's quoting from is in the book of Exodus. It's when Moses is at the burning bush. And no matter what kind of time frame has passed, Jesus is saying to the Jews of his day, "Have you never read what God said to you?" And it would be the same thing for us today. Have you never read what God has said to you? Scripture is God speaking. It's coming out of the mouth of God. And Scripture is what those who heard what God said wrote down. And they wrote down verbatim and exactly what God said to them. Thus, they're the sacred writings. Thus, they are Scripture. And Scripture is intended to be read. And it's intended to be read publicly. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul left Timothy in a particular city in order to build the church up there. And one of the things that he tells Timothy to do is to give attention to public reading, which is exactly what was done when the New Testament letters were circulated. And when they came to the congregations, the letter was read in its entirety to the congregation that was assembled there. Scripture is intended to be read. It's intended for us to listen to it and to read it for ourselves. This is the intent God has given to these sacred writings, to the word that he's spoken to us. He intends for us to read it, and he intends for us to listen when it is being read, because this is God speaking to us. I had a roommate of mine, Fred Hardeman, and we would go out on Sundays to preach at different places. And every time I came back, he would say, "How many scriptures did you have?" And I would count them up, and I'd say, "Well, I had this many." He said, "Well, good. You know you got that much right." And that's why it's important to read Scripture and to have Scripture in it. Okay. It's intended to be understood. We make a mistake if you pick up the Bible and say, "I don't get it." All right, then try harder. Then do what is necessary in order to accomplish the end of it being understood. Because God wrote it in order for you to understand it. That's one of the reasons why I attached to this new translation. What they wanted to do was not translate or come real close to another translation. What his aim and what his goal was how would these Greek words be translated into our language today? And that's what he went about trying to do. Not trying to hold on to any church politics, but just simply translating the message into our language as it is today. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, Jesus says, "But Jesus answered and said to them," this is the same time when he's answering the question that the Sadducees raised about the marriage after death. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken.'" not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. Do you catch that? If you don't understand the scripture, you are wrong. If what you were saying is different from scripture, it is wrong. If what you were saying is not in keeping with what scripture says, you are wrong. You are mistaken. You were wrong because you don't understand scripture. Because you're not understanding what the scriptures say. Therefore, it's necessary in order for me not to be mistaken, but to be right with God and right with what God says, to understand what the scripture says. All of Paul's letters are scripture. We have a lot of people in our country and in our world today that have a hard time with this statement. But all of Paul's letters are scripture, every single one of them. And the reason why I say that is because Peter says this, as also in all his letters, he's talking about Paul. Our beloved brother Paul has spoken about these things, talking about the time when Christ will come again. He's spoken about these things in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. There you go. It's understandable. It may take work. It's understandable. It may take effort. It's understandable. It may take some research. In which some of his things are hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, twist, change the intent of or the meaning of, as they do also the rest of scriptures. Every single translation of the Bible says that phrase that way or in a similar way, indicating that they don't twist the scriptures and they also twist Paul's writings. But when they twist Paul's writings, they twist them in the same way they twist the rest of the scriptures, meaning Paul's writings are part of the scriptures. Paul's writings are included in scripture. But he wasn't one of the Old Testament prophets. And his writings are scripture. And they twist them to their own destruction. If you take your Bible and open to 2 Peter chapter 3. And look with me at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. This is where Peter says this about Paul. But what I want you to notice in 2 Peter chapter 3 is what he says at the start of chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 16 is where he's talking about Paul. But go back up to chapter 3, 1 and 2. There Peter says, this is now, beloved, the second letter. And we call it 2 Peter. This is why we call it 2 Peter. Well, where's 1 Peter? Well, I'm being a little silly. But if you take your Bible and if you turn back one page, you'll see the end of 1 Peter. We have 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I'm sorry, I just felt like being silly. This is now, beloved, the second letter that I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Peter emphasizes his reason for writing 1 and 2 Peter is to be the mother hen of the church. Because his purpose for writing is, I'm going to tell you this again, even though I know you already know it, and I know I have already said it, and you have already heard it. I'm saying it again so you will remember it. And I've told you before, my mother's favorite line whenever I tell her, Mother, I've heard that for years. And she will always say, good. When I'm gone, maybe you'll remember it. And that's what Peter is saying. I'm writing this again. So that you will remember, writing what? Verse 2. That you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. What is scripture? We'll look at it tonight. Hebrews chapter 1. God spoke in the former days through the prophets in a lot of different ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The apostles were his eyewitnesses who wrote down for us what they heard him say and what they saw him do. And so Peter says, so that you will always remember the sacred writings given by the prophets, the Old Testament, and given by Jesus through your apostles, the New Testament. The Old and New Testament are the scriptures. They are the sacred writings. They are the things that we are to read, the things that we are to come to know. So scripture is to be understood. Scripture is to be read. Scripture is to be held to. And now for the one that is politically incorrect. Now for the one that our society and our day has the most difficult time with. Scripture is to be discussed. You don't discuss religion and politics. That's man-made. God-made is you discuss this. You discuss Scripture. You discuss the Bible. You discuss what he has said. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to read a passage. And the passage is going to be Acts chapter 17, and it's going to be verses 1 through 4. And I want you to look with me at what is said and the things that are so important for us to gain and understand in regard to this passage of Scripture about Scripture. Acts chapter 17. We'll start with verse 1. Now, when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now we are introduced to Paul's custom, to what he did. It's an amazing thing to read through the book of Acts and just pay attention to how Scripture was spread. Paul, as was his custom, we're going to see here, first thing he does is go to the synagogue. And in reverently listening, when he's invited to speak, we'll look at what he does. But he comes to the city of Athens and he doesn't go to a synagogue. He comes to the city of Athens and he goes to the marketplace. And he just starts talking. He just starts talking to anybody who will listen. And more people stop to listen. Until finally, a group of individuals from Mars Hill come and say, hey, why don't you come up with us? We want to hear more about what you're saying. He just starts talking. He just starts discussing. Acts chapter 17, we're going to look at four words. Let me get the four words out to you. They're starting in verse 2. And according to Paul's custom, he went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. There's the first word. He reasoned with them from the scriptures. Verse 3, the next two words. Explaining and giving evidence. There's the next two words. He reasoned with them. He explained and he gave evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus who I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded. That's the fourth word. Now let's take a look at the words. We'll look at them one at a time. When he came into the synagogue and he goes to the synagogue, he begins to reason with them from the scriptures. The word reason means to speak interchangeably. They talked back and forth. He said something, they had a response, he responded to their response. It means to converse. It means to discuss. It means to argue. It means to say, no, that's not right. This is what it says. No, what you're saying is incorrect. It's doing exactly what Jesus did with the Sadducees. You are mistaken because you do not understand Scripture. And then he attempts to explain to them Scripture. But as long as they refuse to understand what Scripture is saying, they remain mistaken. And so the idea involved is a discourse, an exchange of conversation, a discussion, argument, where you actually say, no, that's not what it says. This is what it says. And let me show you that this is what it says. All the time doing this with love and consideration. All the time doing this with respect toward others. But never acknowledging that their thoughts, which are different from Scripture, are just as good as Scripture. Because if they're different from Scripture, you are mistaken. Paul is not here to say to those Jews who had read the Scriptures all of their life, yes, your idea about the Messiah and the fact that he will never die is right. No, the Messiah died. He was crucified on the cross. And he rose again from the third day because death could not hold him. But it's important to get Scripture right. It's important to say what Scripture says. So he reasoned with them. They had discussion. They had, to some degree, argument. They had conversation. And it was about Scripture. But then he opened Scripture to them. That means that he explained it. He interpreted it. Hold your Bible here. Go back to Luke chapter 24. The very same word is used. And when the very same word is used and in a different context, it helps us a little bit to see what the meaning of the word is. Luke chapter 24, verse 31 and 32. This is after Jesus was raised from the dead, and he's walking with those disciples, and he's having them to explain to him what the events were that had taken place. In verse 31 and verse 32, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished away from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was opening, explaining the Scriptures to us? So what is Paul doing? He is reasoning with them. And he's opening up to them, explaining to them what the Scripture means and what the Scriptures are saying. The exact same thing Jesus was doing with the disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. Paul is reasoning, he's opening Scripture, and he is proving. The word proving means setting before someone. When Jesus spoke his parables, he opened parables before them in order that they could better understand the kingdom of heaven. Or they set the word of God before them. The word, the idea of open means to set before someone. So he set it before them. When Jesus fed the multitudes, he set the food before them. And what is happening when Paul is in Thessalonica is he is reasoning with them out of Scripture. He's showing them what Scripture says. He's helping them to see and understand what it means, showing them what it says, showing them what it means, and setting it in front of them. It's up to them to pick it up. It's up to them to get it. It's up to them to eat it. But he's done everything that he can. When he has reasoned with them from Scripture and showed them Scripture and explained what it meant and set it in front of them in a way that they can understand it and set it in front of them in a way that they can grasp it, in a way that they can receive it. And now it's up to them to receive it. And then, verse 4 and verse 11, he proved. He proved it to them. And he proved it to them by setting it in front of them. Exactly what Scripture says and exactly what Scripture is all about. Why is this important? Why is it important to discuss Scripture? Why is it important to even argue about it? Why is it important to have it proven to me? Help me to see it. Show it to me. Show me what it says. Why is all that important? Because we are dealing with what God has spoken. We are not dealing with men's thoughts, what men by their own mind have concluded. Men by their own mind can conclude things that are wrong. And it doesn't matter what you think or what somebody else thinks. It doesn't matter what conclusion you have come to from your own thinking. What matters is, what did God say? And what we must be after is what God has said. Because it's only the word spoken by God that make his people everything that God wants them to be. So it doesn't matter what you think about God. What matters is, what has God said about himself? It doesn't matter what you think about what God would have you to do. What has God said he wants you to do? It doesn't matter what we think or feel God will be accepting. What has God said he will accept? We go to Scripture because it's God speaking. And what we're trying to do is find Scripture and what it says and what it means and share that with others. Because if we are not sharing with others Scripture and what God has said, we're doing them no good whatsoever. And we're doing ourselves no good whatsoever. Scripture spoken by God is to be read. It's to be understood. It's to be followed. It's to be taught. And it's to be obeyed by us. So we ask the question, as we do every Sunday, as we close our lesson together. Have you come to Christ? Have you been buried with him? Have you died to yourself and walking a new life with him? Do you need to come home to Christ? Do you need to respond to his invitation this morning? If you do, we offer that invitation to you as together we stand and as we sing.